Well, let's take our Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad to see you here with us tonight as we look in the Word of God. Good to see Brother Joe. I thought you was out of the planet for some reason, and you walked in. It kind of threw me off.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Or 10 days, actually.
Where are you going to?
Grenada, Barbados, and St. Vincent. You're going 30 days.
Okay. Grenada, Barbados, and St. Vincent, which is not drivable distance. It's a flight, right? Okay.
I was going to swim, but I figured I'd get tired.
Yeah, if you was 20 again, you know, I think you could make it. But now that you're 30, I don't know, brother. I don't know.
I can float good, but that distance might
be. We'd rename him Sharkbait if he got out in them waters and floated like that.
He lightweight skin.
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5. As you turn in your Bibles, the theme of this chapter is godly homes. And without going through the whole chapter, if we were just take a verse out of context, we could make this chapter say about anything we wanted to. But we want to take it in context and see what God's got to say. Key verse, if you look at verse 11, and the key verse says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." If you're going to have a godly home, there's going to be some things you got to reprove and get out of your life. There's going to be some people you're going to have to cut out of your life.
Yeah.
And he points out there in these 33 verses, 564 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. If you'll notice in verse 1, where we're going to pick up reading, the first 21 verses deals with obedient children. And let's look in the Word of God. Verses 1 through 4. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and preach to you tonight on your life as a believer. Your life as a believer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move during this time of fellowship around the Word of God that we have. We pray for your understanding through the Holy Spirit's power, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that you'll make the Scriptures real to us. Help me to preach," according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, "to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And, Lord, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for us. Amen. As we look tonight in the Word of God, we look at your life as a believer, let me point something out to you tonight. There are some instructions in these first four verses, I believe, tonight concerning our Christian life that'll be overlooked by just casual reading of the Bible. That's why God commands us to read the Bible for daily food and study the Bible for our knowledge, for our understanding, and for our transformation. And that first verse, the first instruction given there in verses 1 and 2, shows us the instruction on the believer's practical life. You and I are not what we say we are. You and I are what we do,
right.
What we practice. What you practice is so loud I can't hear what you say you are.
Right.
I've heard people tell me that they played for the Dallas Cowboys before. I saw a little kid with a star on the side of his helmet. He is at Walmart. He had number 22 on. He had a white number 22 with a blue navy 22 number on both sides. He claimed he is Emmitt Smith. However, Emmitt Smith is not 3 feet tall. You can claim anything you want to.
Come on.
But the facts will find you out fast.
Right.
I look at that verse. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We're talking about godly homes. You got to listen. If you have a godly home, you got to be a godly child first.
Right.
And one thing about the believer's practical life, you got to practice at home being a child of God what you'd practice like you was living right in front of this altar in front of all of us.
Right.
A lot of times we try to base things on, you know, what's acceptable in society. And, you know, what's acceptable in society right now may not be godly. It may be godly. It just depends. I mean, society fluctuates so much. We went from Nike to Tommy Hilfiger to something else so quick, I don't even know what we're supposed to have on nowadays. I don't know. But I know this. I know there's still a standard there by the Word of God that you still follow, whether the in crowd likes it or they don't like it.
That's right.
There was a time in America in which everybody wore suit and ties. I saw some of Mama Wiley's pictures of downtown Gaffney. I couldn't believe it. You seen them pictures? Old black and white pictures. Even the women had on ties and suits. I couldn't believe it, man. But it's like everybody wore a suit and tie. And I thought, man, that'd kill me having to wear a suit 7 days a week, all that stuff, and it being in black and white, too. I don't like them colors. I want a red one. Amen. But I look at this thing, and I look at the believer's practical life, and we got to follow God as dear children.
Right.
If you want to have a godly home, one of the first things you got to be is a good child of God to have a good godly home.
Right.
He said, be ye followers of God as dear children. If you take a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, and maybe I should go back maybe a year and a half old before they get to them terrible twos, and you'll find that kid's learning how to walk, and what they're going to do is they're going to walk after the pattern you walk in front of them. You'll get up one day and go to brush your teeth, and there'll be a little set of legs and feet bouncing behind you wanting to brush your teeth too.
Right.
And you'll walk around the house and go in there to do something. You look around, there's somebody following you. That's how you got to be with the Lord. Jesus gave us this example. He said, where I see my Father work, there I work also. And that's what we do, is we follow Him as dear children, as if He's going to the next room. We're going to go next room because we just want to be with Him. And when we follow Him like that, He says this in verse 2. And He says, as a practical life, a daily thing, and walk in love. And walk in love, He says, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, what He's pointing out here about a sweet-smelling savor, about Christ being that for us, is to the Lord about that. When Christ put Himself on the cross and He laid down His life willingly and died for us, that thing was pleasing to God, because God was not looking for a lamb. He was looking for the Lamb. And He wanted to see Christ on that altar, and He wanted to see Christ give Himself for us, and He wanted to see that thing because He's already seen the best we can do.
Right.
We were talking about characters in the Bible this morning, and you know, good ones and whatnot, how good examples of them. Even the best one was a sinner. Even the best one. And when we think about Christ, we look at Him, we say, we become like Pilate. We say, we find no fault in Him at all, because there is no fault in Him at all. He knew no sin. Listen, He is the sinless Son of God. And what we're to do is, dear children, is to follow Him. And He points out how He walked. He walked in love. Do you know every rebuke He handed out was in love? Every one of them. If He didn't love them Pharisees and Sadducees and want to get them saved, He'd have never told them the truth.
Right.
Well, sometimes you got a lot of help people. That's what the society says. You know what God's dear child says? Lord, how did you treat that bunch? I'm going to treat them the same way.
Right.
He rebuked where there's a rebuke necessary. He reproved where there's a reproof necessary. He said the fitting words at the right time. And He always run everything by heaven to make sure that we had an example to follow. As He walked in love, we need to walk in love. It's hard sometimes to get a hold of this thing and see how it really shakes out. But when He said He offered a sacrifice for a sweet smell and savor to God, the whole thing about that sacrifice was, it was for the Lord.
Right.
You might bring it to the tabernacle in the Old Testament times, and you might bring it in. It might be for your sin, but that thing was ultimately for God.
Right.
While Christ died for you, and He died for your sins, and He got up from the grave that you might be justified, He did all that for God Almighty, not for you. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that thing where He said, well, if Jesus had been me, Jesus would have died for you? No, He'd died for the Lord. He'd have died for His Father. That's all that matters. We treat our specks of dust that we call ourselves like we're something. And boy, we won't be around the next 50 years. Some of us not even 5 or 10. And I'm just talking to the young stupid crowd right now. You ever heard that old saying, if you're going to be stupid, you're going to be tough? I ain't seen too many tough young people lately, so I guess what we're fixing to have is a mass exodus on this planet of some of them. Unbelievable. Your life as a believer, listen, the believer's practical life, you got to practice walking in love.
Right.
So that's hard with people. You better believe it.
Yeah.
If this was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right.
The Democrats would be doing it. The liberals would be doing it. The
right.
modern churches would be doing it if it was easy.
Right. Come on.
Oh, you don't need to go in them mean old independent Baptist churches. You need to come on down to our church where there's love. Yeah, I heard y'all hate independent Baptists up there. You know how I know that? Yeah, I know that. I'll go preach a funeral one of them guys or something, and I'll say, you're not as hard to work with as I heard you was.
Huh?
Well, who told them that? Huh?
Right.
Who told them that? I know. That very real devil they don't think is knocking at their door and chomping at your heels right now, he told them that.
Yeah.
Come on. Isn't that something? You better watch out. He'll be knocking on your door tonight.
Right.
Listen, I've seen people come along and say, well, I can't walk in love because them people won't do right. I ain't met nobody yet that'll do right. We all have this thing about us. You know what it is? It's called humanity, and humanity is never right. What we'll establish as a principle, establish as right, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, we'll take it off the table and say there's no way. Science has proven different.
Come on.
You say science? Yeah, you remember that crowd that told Columbus the world was flat? They said that was a fact he couldn't get around. He got around it. You know what they said after that? The world's round. You can't disprove that. But you were just saying that the world...
Yeah.
You know what the big thing is today? People's going back to saying it's flat again.
What?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't care if it's flat, round, or square. I do know this much. If you go around the world, you wind up on the other side, coming back this way, the way you left towards, you will come back going that same direction. Just saying.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna fall. You're not going to fall off the end. You know, you're going to keep going around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been on a boat time or two myself. I know. It may look like you're going to fall off when you get out yonder, but when you get out yonder, it's like the place you went left from just fell off. I mean, you know. And Lord help you, look at this. He said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. If Jesus could love us and Jesus lives inside us and we get saved like we looked at this morning, then I believe he just enabled us with the power to be able to do what he does. See, that's the thing about the Christian life. The practical part of the Christian life, we got to lean on him for the power to do it. If you hold your place here, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. There's something that caught my attention about this thing about the believer's practical life, and he says this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, now I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. See that enabled right there? That's something you can't do. That's something he has to do. Who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So what I see there is simply this. It's God who enables the believer by his own strength, God's strength, to be able to be faithful and follow him in everything we do. He enabled them. If you look back over in Philippians chapter 2, you'll see where all that comes from. If you look down in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we find out that Christ became obedient. You and I, if we are obedient children, he enables us to do things that we can't lay claim to because it would have to be him that does it. Isn't that something? We're looking for instructions on how to live right and all this other stuff. Here's one for you right here. Here's one is your life as a believer, and it's simply this. You have a practical life, and there's somebody in charge of it.
Right. Yeah.
I can tell a difference in the attitude of people in the South now that there's a different president. Here's why. Before, all the liberals that lived in these big cities with 5 and 6 million people and all this other stuff in these great big huge cities that have apartment on the 84th floor that's about as big as this pulpit area up here, something like that, and they'd have their television, their internet, and they'd say, we need to change. Our president says we need to change. We need to make everything better where the men can go to the bathroom with the women. By the way, let me make a public service announcement. You can do that, but you can't do that here.
That's right.
That goes both doors. Women, you don't be in the men's room. Men, you don't be in the women's.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. There's a door there, and there's one back there.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Your gender confusion is no confusion.
Right.
But I will say this. If you go in the bathroom with our little children, they may not find you for the next 2 years, because some of these parents down here, they pretty rough.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't take a chance.
Yeah.
Bunch of rednecks, they ain't been saved long. I wouldn't fool with them.
Yeah.
They might. They might forget who they are in Christ Jesus over something like that for a few minutes. You just never know. But I know this much. I can tell a difference because that bunch had the votes last time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, everybody down south, the guy come through the south and places like our small town and said, look, I'm going to get you jobs back. We're going to make America great again. Now everybody's got a different attitude. Then liberals are saying this. They're saying, well, he's just a tyrant and a dictator. What do you think that last outfit was?
Come on. Tell it.
They all tyrants and dictators. That's what the position is.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the guy in charge. Everybody rebels against authority in some form. But I do know this much. There's a different attitude in people in these small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the attitude. The attitude is, we're getting our jobs back. We may not have to buy from China much longer. That's the attitude of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we live.
Right.
And when we look at this thing and we see that when a Christian lets God run their life, things change. Things change like this. You'll find people that will, all of a sudden, where they used to be one thing, now they're going to be another. They're going to understand that God has taken control and He wants to enable them to do things they couldn't do and to do great things for Him that He wouldn't let them get away with by themselves. It's not an accident when God uses somebody.
Right.
It's a plan. It's God's will. And I see in the believer's practical life that he does that over and over because he wants to be the one to put the power on it to make it work.
Come on.
Look back over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 over there. We see the instructions concerning the Christian life. We see the believer's practical life. And then we see the believer's prescribed life. He gives us something here by way of prescription that Dr. Jesus gives us that'll help us out. And here it is. He tells us very plainly here, and prescribing these things, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. There's something that God Almighty has prescribed, and here's what it is. He wants you to not be fooled up in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he points out these sins. He says, filthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Filthiness. I don't like that fact where people say, well, the Bible says you got to take a bath every day. And then somebody comes, well, that ain't in the Bible. Well, he did say no filthiness, right?
Yeah.
Let me help you ladies out. Clean your house up.
Well,
your husband told me to say it. He said, wash them dishes and listen, get your shovel out and shovel out them cockroaches, get them dishes clean. Is that good enough, Ben?
Uh-huh.
Amen. Now, let me point something out to you. You ladies told me to tell him to get to policing that yard out there. Get that stuff up out of your yard. Listen, your grass is so high they might find Jimmy Hoffa buried out there in it. You don't know. But get that stuff up and get it done. It's easy.
Right.
I found out something. My drugstore down there, if you want one, they sell two things that'll help you. It's a respirator mask with them things, the filters on the end of it, and safety glasses. If yours is that dangerous, they sell that stuff now pretty cheap, and you can go get that and put it on. Or you might be willing to get one of them riot shields from the police department, depending on how bad your thing is, because you might not know what's out there. I was cutting my grass up there in the city a couple of years ago, and I found out something. All the critters ain't down here. They're up there. I walked out the other day, and I saw something crawling around the backyard at night, and I thought, what in the world is that? And I took my phone and hit that light on it, shined out there. There's a raccoon out there. He ain't supposed to be there. We live in the city. Had a possum in my house before. I killed a snake, longest snake I ever seen in my life, in the city. Them ain't supposed to be there. I've seen bugs up there I don't think nobody's named yet. In the city. Not in my house, in the city. I've seen them up there, and I'm thinking, how did that get here? But let me tell you something. That filthiness might be your life he's talking about.
Come on.
I had fun telling you to cut the grass. I really did. I had fun telling you to clean up your house. I really did. And your husband, listen, y'all owe me $5 a piece for all the flack I'm going to get out of your wife later. So you might as well just ante up. Amen. But he might be talking about you. Your life can get filthy from ignoring your prayer life. Your life can get filthy by ignoring your Bible. And the devil's biggest kept secret he tries to hit you with is this. So you fell behind on your Bible reading since January. Well, you got to catch all that up before you can go forward. That's what he'll tell you.
Well,
you know what God says? Your works are as filthy rags before him.
Right.
He didn't say back up and get all of it. He said pick up today and get it.
Come on.
Ask him to forgive and move to the next thing.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Right.
Practical. Get rid of the filthiness. Right. He says here about this thing, nor foolish talking nor jesting. Mm-hmm. It's always good to get church folks together, have fellowship, and laugh. I think it's a great medicine for folks.
Yeah.
But there is a serious time which people still try to make jokes out of that I don't think's funny, and I don't think you do either.
Come on.
If I'm in the hospital, and God forbid I broke something and I'm in the hospital, I want you to come in there fasting and praying, not feasting and playing. They in there and they saying, we're going to take out something, hit your knees before God Almighty and scream to the top of your lungs if you have to, like, oh, holiness, and start praying for me. I don't care. I won't be a bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
As long as you get through to heaven, I want you to get through.
Amen.
But when folks are in a ICU or situation like that, people come in joking around with them, that ain't no good, man.
Right.
God don't want you doing that all the time.
Right.
Because sometimes we need folks to get serious and get help. And you are the one God put there, and there you come in like a comedian.
Well, right.
I like funny stuff. I like funny people. Y'all realize that, right? But what I don't like is a joke about everything.
Right.
And I learned this from this verse, because he says of this thing here, he said about them things that are filthiness, he said, or nor jesting, which are not convenient. There's a convenient time for everything, but sometimes that stuff ain't convenient. I don't want somebody joking about watching some basketball game if my daughter's in the emergency room. I'll just be honest with you. That makes me put on Mr. Angry Eyes like Mr. Potato Head. I take the good eyes off, put the bad ones on. I don't like it. There you go, little girl. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of that and hang out on my door and keep him haints away tonight. That looks too mean. But listen. I don't think it's funny when they come over here joking about stuff like that. That's when that stuff gets out of line. I don't think it's funny when we get down to pray and somebody's making jokes about prayer.
Right.
What we need to have is God's prescription. Dr. Jesus says, neither. See that thing, you see what it is? It's called negative. He said, let it not be named once you have become a saint. And he says, neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. But he says this, rather giving of thanks. One thing you'll find out about your prescribed life is God may not call you to go halfway around the world to do something. He may call you to go halfway down the street and do it. But I see he says there, do it with thanks.
Right.
I had a preacher here a while back, and I'll never forget him saying this. He said, I hate vacation Bible school. You remember that? He said, you know why I hate it? He said, because I hate hearing all the adults complain about them children. He said, I hate that. He said, first thing I hear, first night, I can't believe it. Go to the house. But better, get your heart right. Because
right.
See, you and I are not living in the age in which Beaver Cleaver's showing up to church with his mother and dad, and they're in the Oldsmobile.
Right.
We're dealing with the age of people who show up that don't know who their daddy is, may not know who their mama is, and she might be in prison. And we bring them in. They've not been raised to know which fork goes on which side, which spoon goes this side, which what a threek is and a fork and all them other things. They don't know all that stuff.
Right.
You don't believe me? Take an Olive Garden. They'll look at the thing like I did and say, well, what's a threek? It's not got four. It's three. It's threek.
Yep.
Very simple. Right? Now, when you show up at something like that, you see that thing, you say, man, what a bunch of rednecks. Guess what we are? That's what we're putting out right now.
Right.
Cash me outside. That's that business we are putting out. And what's worse is, we don't ever preach on the home in churches. We never cover something like this. We never talk about dear children. We never talk about the believer's practical life or his prescribed life. And we get into this stuff and we say, why can't people do right? I'm going to tell you why. They're not being enabled by the Lord to do it. See, he's got to give the power to overcome these things. If you want to take up on the practical part of verse 1 and 2, you've got to have a very practical God that's going to walk with you in life's open way and give you those things.
Right.
His name's Jesus Christ. He does that by the Holy Spirit of God. If you're going to take Dr. Jesus' prescription and get over that sin sickness that keeps weighing you down, listen to this. You got to pick up verse 3 and 4, and that's got to be real to you that God can overcome them things in your life. One of the things that really bothers me about this day and age, he says that thing about but fornication and uncleanness and all that stuff, or covetousness. You know why people can't get around that? They don't want to. Their desires set on sin. Their soul saved. Their spirit saved. But their body's not. And they let that flesh control everything they do. Listen, quit being one of those people that constantly says, well, you know, such and such, I just, everybody's got problems. No, don't be one of them. Be one, and don't be one of them that says, I can't believe such and such does it. No, be one of these. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you give a prescription here, and if I just do what you say, everything will be right. Mm-hmm. I had somebody in this church here a few years ago that stayed sick for 3 solid weeks. You know why they stayed sick? It's real simple. The doctor said here, take these pills every 4 hours. That's all you got to do. You know what they did? Took them every 4 hours for a couple of days, and all the sickness cleared up. And they said, I don't need them pills. That ain't what the doctor said. The doctor said, take all of them until they're done. About 3 days later, sickness came back. Went back to them pills, took them for days, sickness went away. A day later, it came back, and it came back worse that time. Doctor, I don't know what I'm going to do. Did you take that medicine? Yeah. Now, not only you're disobedient, now you're a liar too.
Come on. Yeah.
And you wonder why you can't get better.
Yeah.
Here's Dr. Jesus' prescription for your life. Do what he says.
Right.
Follow him.
Yeah.
And he'll work on it.
Sure.
I've had things in my life over the years I couldn't get off me with Ajax and Billy Graham's help. True story. Benny Hinn or none of them could do nothing.
Right.
I found out when I came over here and got this prescription and started taking it the way Dr. Jesus prescribed.
Yeah.
I didn't just get it away. I had victory over it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something God wants to give to everybody. Every born-again child of God has become a saint. Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you.